chapter 17 this morning, Luke chapter number 17. And if you have Jesus, He's all you need, friends. No questions asked. Because if you have Him, you get everything He has, everything He is, and that's more than enough for me. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. We're studying through this book together, doing patchwork through it. We've come to this portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 17, verse 11. It came to pass as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When He saw them, He said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Notice the question in verse 17. It's the title of my message this morning. Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Pray that you'll speak to our hearts, challenge us from your word. Help us to be faithful to you, loving to you. And I pray as your word is preached that you get me out of the way. May I not add or take anything away. But simply preach what you've already written down in your word. Do business with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was to pass out a piece of paper and had everybody write down what you think is one of the most disgusting sins that a child of God can commit, there's no telling what different answers would come in on those sheets. Some sheets might write adultery. Some might write down pride or selfishness or prayerlessness or not reading the Bible. And while I admit that these are all sin, there's a sin that many Christians are committing every day that in God's eyes is very disgusting. Now I want to look at this story and see what this sin is as we consider the question, where are the 9? And I want to focus on the 10 men in this story and bring out 4 things about them. And may I say this to you, that if you are saved today, and even if you're not saved, you are pictured in this story. If you are saved, you are pictured in points 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you are lost, you are pictured in point 1. But you desperately need point 2. And point 3 will take place. So stay with me here. First thing I want to challenge you with these 10 lepers and where are the 9, first of all, is notice their condition. We see this in verse number 12 where the Bible simply calls them lepers. Now leprosy back in the Old Testament and here even in the New Testament, back during this time when the Bible and this story was literally being portrayed, leprosy was a terrible disease. As a matter of fact, when you do a Bible study of leprosy, you'll find that there was no more dreadful disease that people did not want to contract. At first, leprosy, there was little or no pain. A few spots would appear at first, and gradually those spots would spread over the entire body. Now, with time, it was usually accompanied with great pain and violent itching. And though appearing in the flesh, it was deeply seated in the bones, in the marrow, and in the joints. Leprosy would spread with gradual and certain ruin. Joints, hands, feet would begin to lose their power, and the body would literally begin to collapse. In worst cases, leprosy would cause body parts to begin to fall off of the body. Can you imagine? In the last stages of leprosy, the victim would fall to pieces, and leprosy would eventually kill the person. They may live years in indescribable misery. It's been reported that leprosy could be hereditary up to the 3rd and 4th generation. It's been reported that leprosy was highly contagious. If you got too close to it, you were liable to get it. It was incurable by any human means. It was a death warrant. It was a death sentence. Leprosy would bring shame to people because they were commanded in the Word of God, if they had leprosy, that when people would get close to them, they were to cup their hand over their mouth and begin to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." As you can see in all of this, that their condition was extremely bad. When you contracted leprosy, you realized it was only a matter of time before I'm going to meet the undertaker, and my road to the undertaker could be very long, very painful, and even very contagious to those that I love the most. Now, it's interesting as we think about those quick things there that summarize the condition of leprosy. If you turn, don't turn to it, but if you turn to Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, the Bible plainly teaches that leprosy is a spiritual picture of sin. In other words, when you think about the condition of the lepers physically, I'm talking about this physical condition of there being no more dreadful disease, that at first there's very little or no pain, and few spots appear first and gradually spread over the entire body. And with time, it's usually accompanied with great pain and violent itching, or even though it appears just to the flesh, it's deeply rooted inside in the interior, that it can spread with gradual and certain ruin, that joints and hands and feet begin to lose their power and the body begins to collapse. And worst case scenario, body parts start falling off. In other words, there's great pain and torment. In the last stages, the victim begins to fall to pieces. It eventually kills, but yet the years that it takes to kill them, they could be an indescribable misery. It can be hereditary, passed on from generation to generation. It can be highly contagious, that if you get close to it, it begins to rub off on you. It can bring shame to your life, and it's incurable by any human means. You think about all of that, and you think about what sin has done to the human man. My friend, we all humans, and all of us are sinners by nature. And because of our sin, we are under a death penalty. We're under a death warrant. It's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of time before we meet the undertaker. And our sin can send us to a devil's hell. That's their condition. Second thing I want to show you is their cry. Now, I'm getting to my sermon's point four, so just stay with me here. Their condition, terrible condition. We liken it to us with our sin, our condition without Jesus Christ. Secondly, their cry. Look at verse number 13. "And they, all 10 of them, lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" I want to give you four things about this cry. And this is a cry, again, if we're relating it to our lives here. I don't know of any lepers here today. This is talking about a physical condition here. And in their physical condition, they are crying out to Jesus. But yet those who are spiritual lepers, those who are not born again, those who have sin in their life, they need Jesus Christ. We can learn some great things about the cry for salvation here. Let me give you four things about their cry. Number one, it was a serious cry. You say, what do you mean by this? They knew they needed help. May I say this to you? I do not imagine these 10 lepers, when they saw Jesus and realized he's the one, if anybody can heal me, he can. I don't imagine them being too ashamed of their cry at that moment. I don't imagine them whispering to him. I don't imagine them saying, "Jesus." I don't imagine them saying, I don't really want to bother him. No, you know what I imagine? I imagine them screaming, crying out, the Bible said. The Bible says they cried, they shrieked, I mean they shouted. Let me ask you a question. Why were they crying with such intensity? Why did they cry out to Jesus with such emotion? Let me tell you why. Because they knew the seriousness of their need. They knew that without his touch, they were going to die. May I say this to you? There's a reason why a lost world doesn't call out to Jesus. And the reason they don't call out is because they don't understand the danger they're truly in. When somebody sees that they are on their way to a devil's hell, They see that they are on their way to a place where God has forsaken that place. God does not live there. God is not in hell. You say, well, I thought God is everywhere. He's not in hell. It's a God-forsaken place. He does not live there. He has separated himself from there. And the Bible says that those without Jesus Christ are going to a devil's hell. And they will burn for all eternity. And I remind you that hell is not the eternal abode. Hell is the holding place where those that die without Christ go to hell right now. But there's coming a day when King Jesus comes. And may I say to you that the Bible says that death and hell are taken and they're cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, the same place where the devil's going. And the Bible says they will be there forever and ever. When somebody realizes that without Jesus, that's where they're going, they will not care who thinks what of them. They will not care what their mama, daddy, brother, sister, boyfriend, girlfriend, aunt, uncle, cousin, dog, or cat thinks about them. They will call out to Jesus Christ, shrieking, crying out for mercy, because they know the seriousness of their need. Their cry was serious. Secondly, their cry was simple. You say, what do you mean? Notice what it was. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad salvation is not complicated. I'm glad salvation is so simple that a 9-year-old girl in the city of Oxford can come to me with tears coming down her face and beg God to forgive her. Glad when I was in Oxford, we were praying and seeking God. There's a gypsy family. They call them travelers over there. We know them as gypsies. The English people don't want anything to do with them because they have a bad testimony, but the pastor there and the ministry there and the church there in Oxford. I'm talking about Oxford, the place where Oxford University is, the place where Darwinism began, the place where atheism is running rampant. Right in the middle of that place, there's a Bible-believing independent Baptist church taking place. And I preach there on Sunday morning, Sunday night. On Sunday night, the gypsy grandfather, he's been saved for about 3 years. We had a Bible study in his house, Brother Eugene Radford and I. I'll be honest with you, Brother Eugene, that's one of the highlights of my trip was that Bible study. That ham sandwich, too, with butter instead of mayonnaise on it. Amen. I'm talking about sitting in a place where if you go to these steps right here and come to the pulpit, that's the place where we were, sitting in their living room and their little kitchen right here. He began to share his testimony as a gypsy grandfather about how God saved his life 3 years ago. His wife didn't want anything to do with it. His daughter didn't want anything to do with it. But now they're standing there. They're both saved. But the interesting thing is at first they would drive him. They would go with him to the Baptist chapel. They call them chapels over there. They don't call them churches necessarily because if English people hear church, they naturally think it's the Church of England. So they call them Baptist chapels. So we're in the Baptist chapel. And he would go in, but his wife and daughter would stay out in the vehicle. They wouldn't even go in. But over time, God's got a hold of them. And his wife has trusted Christ. His daughter's trusted Christ. Sunday night service, we're preaching. I'm preaching there, preaching on the two thieves, which thief are you? And over there, they don't give traditional invitations like we do here in America because it's an offense to them. It offends the English people to ask them to come forward. But that particular night, he sent me to the back. And he said, the pastor's going to be in the back. He sensed the Spirit of the Lord moving. And he said, the pastor's going to be in the back. And if while we're closing the service, if you'd like to go talk to him, then I want you to go talk to him. I left the auditorium, went outside, and not quite outside, almost outside, just in the little lobby there. During the closing prayer, I believe it was, there's a 9-year-old girl. Her name is Brightly. 9-year-old girl came to me with tears in her eyes. And she said, can I talk to you? I said, sure. I took the pastor's wife and went into a back room and I said, why are you coming? Why are you coming today? 9 years old, she basically said, because I want what you were talking about. And as a 9-year-old girl, tears coming down, flowing down, I mean just bawling, 9 years old, bawling, she called out to Jesus and asked him to forgive her sin. She walked through the church still crying, just weeping. Her family said, we've never seen her like this. You know whose granddaughter that is? The gypsy's granddaughter. You may tell you what I'm glad of. I'm glad that a 9-year-old gypsy girl that knows very little about the Bible got saved that night, because God has made it so simple that a 9-year-old girl can trust Him and become converted and be a child of God for all eternity. Man, that excites me. I've got jet lag, but I feel pretty good right now. I'm telling you that it was a simple cry. It wasn't complicated. You didn't have to say, hey, one of them didn't have to say this and nine of them say nine different things. No, they said the same thing, and it was a simple cry. And I'm telling you, not only was it serious and simple, but thirdly, it was a single cry. It didn't take twice. It didn't take three times. It didn't take four times. It didn't take 10 times. It took one time. And may I say to you that in this cry here, that as soon as they cried out in faith in the Son of God, the very moment they cried out, He answered their cry. You know what I'm glad of today? This is another sermon. I cannot get bogged down here because I'm plowing towards my main thought. I cannot get bogged down, but I am so glad that when I'm saved forever. I'm saved for eternity. It doesn't take 2 more times, 3 more times, 10 more times. If I trust Jesus, listen to me, if God saves me and He saves me, hey, are you listening? It takes Him one time and one time only. And I'm saved forever. It was a serious cry. It was a simple cry. It was a single cry. And I've already mentioned this, but let me mention it again. It was a same cry. They said the same thing. They all called Jesus' name. They all ask Jesus for mercy. What's the point here? The point here is there's not many ways to heaven. The point here is there's one way. And if you get there, it's going to be the same way I get there. And if I get there, it'll be the same way you get there. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Number one, we've noticed their condition. Number two, their cry. By the way, I hope you're relating this to your sin and salvation. If you've been saved, it's because you got serious about it. You realize without God, there's no hope of heaven. And in a simple, single tone, you called out to Jesus for mercy and asked Him to forgive your sin. Thirdly, we see their cleansing. This is found in verse number 14. Well, the Bible says, and when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You know what the word saw means? It says when Jesus saw them. You know what that word saw means? It means when He knew them, when He understood them, when He had knowledge of them. You know what that means? He understood. He knew what they were going through. And He understood exactly what they were crying for. So He told them, He said, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now again, this is a physical cleansing, okay? So don't think that this is teaching work salvation. But this is teaching something great about salvation. You know what that is? Works don't save. But they do show the sincerity of our faith. You read the book of James, it talks about living faith. If you truly believe, you will prove it by the way you live. And may I say this to you here? They were to, by faith, break the boundaries and walk to the priest to be pronounced clean. For instance, when Jesus said, go show yourselves unto the priest, they were forbidden to get close to them because they were lepers. Follow me? Because they were lepers, they were forbidden to get close to anybody. So as they had leprosy and Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest, what was He telling them? Trust me. Believe my word. Show faith in me. All they had to go on was His word. Amen. All they had to go on is what He said. And they obeyed. When they went, they were showing Jesus, I believe you. I have faith. Could they cleanse themselves? Yes or no? So cleansing is not by works. Only Jesus can save. But you must have faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. They placed their faith in God's word. And when they did that, they were cleansed. By the way, can you imagine being one of these 10 lepers? Again, it's hard for us to imagine it because it's hard for us to think in these terms that they had a disease that had no human cure, none. If you got it, you're dead. You're going to die. There it is. It may start small, but eventually you realize it's going to take over your body, and you realize that if you have a bad enough case of it, your body part's going to start falling off of you. And you see Jesus Christ, and you beg him to have mercy on you. And he says, go show yourself to the priest. And you start walking, and your hand that starts shriveling up on you because it's in so much pain, all of a sudden you feel something in your left hand. And you look down, and the hand that had all those sores on it now looks as pure as baby skin. Those joints that were giving you so much trouble that you couldn't walk because your body was starting to collapse, all of a sudden you felt a little bit stronger and you began to walk a little bit better. Can you imagine leprosy gone? It's a type of sin. It's a type of being saved. It's a type of being born again. Now, let me give you the message. Okay? Doesn't mean it's going to be a lot longer here, but just let me give you the message. Where are the nine? Their condition, their cry, their cleansing. Finally, in closing, their contrast. Their contrast. Look at verses 15 to 19. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Now get this. 10 lepers, 10 cried, 10 cleansed, but only one returned to say thank you. Only one. By the way, verse 15 says, when he turned, right here, he turned back with a loud voice. You know the interesting thing about that? Is in my study, when I studied leprosy, it's brought out that the bronchial tubes many times are dried and the voice becomes harsh and squeaky because the voice is being attacked by the leprosy. But the Bible says in verse 15, after this man is cleansed, that he cried with a loud voice, a clear voice. A penetrating voice. All 10 would still be lepers without Jesus Christ. But only one expressed gratitude. Someone has said men howl to God upon their beds, but run away from God as soon as they are raised up by God. It's interesting. The other nine are never heard of again. You will not find them again in Scripture. They're gone. Jesus publicly noted their indifference. But the one first poured out his thanks to God. May I say this to you? This is our first duty. Our first duty is not to serve God. Our first duty is not to do something for God. Our first duty is to be thankful to God and to serve Him out of gratitude. Let me tell you why you should never stop serving God, because He's been too good to you. Amen. Let me tell you why I should never stop serving God, because He saved my soul. And out of gratitude, I ought to say, thank you, Jesus, for how good you have been to me. Verse 18, Jesus identified this man as a stranger. He's saying that because the Bible says he was a Samaritan. And I remind you that Samaritans in the New Testament were viewed peculiarly wicked by the Jews. Peculiarly wicked by the Jews. God often receives more praise. Get this. God often receives more praise from those who had long lived without His knowledge and fear than those who are bred up among His own people. Nine indicated here that they thought more of themselves than they thought of God. See, urgent need in their life was past. They didn't have anything serious anymore to cry out to God about. So they just went along about their own daily business. But this one realized where he still would be without Jesus. Boy, let that sink in. This one who had been cleansed realized that without Jesus he would still have the leprosy. Without Jesus he would still be dying. Without Jesus he would still be ashamed. Without Jesus he would still be contagious. So he fell at his feet to give him thanks. It's interesting when you read on here that the Lord gave him another blessing. He said in verse 19, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." May God constantly remind us of where we were and where we still would be if not for the grace of God. Where would we be without Jesus? You know, the world is searching for Jesus. They're searching for him. They really are. Some of them don't even know it. They're trying to find what they're searching for in things, trying to find it in other people, trying to find it in this, trying to find it in that, and the whole time they can only find what they're searching for in Jesus Christ. There's a lost and dying world over in England. By the way, England, we're just a little behind England. And what I saw there is coming here. And what I saw in Oxford, I was in Brighton, Oxford, and Birmingham, just Birmingham for a day, Brighton for a day, and or overnight, and then Oxford for a majority of the time. What I saw over there, especially when we were doing some street preaching, when I was trying to give out gospel tracts, they were kind. It was no thank you, no thank you, no thank you. I would say out of the tracts that I tried to give out, me personally, I don't know about the other group, but me personally, I would say over 90% of the tracts that I tried to give, they did not receive them. I don't want it. I don't want it. Here's what I'm saying. You're living in the United States of America. God has blessed this country. And as a result of being born here and being in this local church, God gave me the truth. God saved my soul as a ministry of this local. I was saved here in this church. God gave me truth, and he has saved my soul. But for the grace of God, you'd be a homeless person like we saw over on the streets of England. Maybe never even hearing the name of Jesus Christ. Has God saved you? Don't ever get over it. Amen. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. Somebody said, if the stars only came out once a year, everybody would stay up all night to look at them. But we've seen them so often, many times we don't even bother to look up anymore. That can happen in salvation if you're not careful. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 106 verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 69 verse 30, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9, 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Colossians 3, 15, be ye thankful. Hebrews 13, 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There were 10 cleansed, but 9 of them just went about their own daily duties. But one of them said, I will not go forward until first I go back. And I fall at his feet just to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my cry. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. I wonder, are you more like the ninth or the one? Leprosy put all 10 on the same plane. Sin puts all of us on the same plane. What has God done for you? When's the last time you thanked Him? If the nine lepers who did not return bothered Him over their physical condition, physical leprosy, if that bothered the Son of God, when He healed them physically, but that they didn't come and thank Him for healing them physically, if that bothered Him, how much more must His children, whom He's delivered from hell, bother Him if we go about our daily lives too busy to stop and say thank you? I am convinced that the sin of ingratitude breaks the heart of God. When's the last time you went to God and didn't ask for anything? When's the last time you went to God and fell on your face and said, I'm not coming to ask you for anything, Lord. I'm coming simply to say, thank you. You've heard the chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. When is the last time that you turned back, fell at His feet, just to say thank you? You know what I think would be great today? For this altar to be filled with God's children on their face, singing from the heart, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. My body's tired, but my spirit's alive and doing well. He's been good to me. He's been good to you too, friends. Do you love Him today? Yes, we love Him because He first loved us. And may we give gratitude to Him. Amen, friends. And if you're here today and you don't know Him as your Savior, all you must do is see the seriousness of your sin. And a simple cry out from your heart. And He'll save you today. Change your life. Give you something to be thankful about the rest of your days on earth. Were there not 10 cleansed? Listen to the Son of God. But where are the 9? Father, we love you today. I pray you'll bless this. Help us in a way that is pleasing to you. And I pray, Lord, that you will do business with us. Help us to see how we need to be grateful, thankful, every day of our life for you saving our souls. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. There are two types of people in this auditorium. Spiritually speaking, there are those lepers who are not yet cleansed. And there are those lepers who have been cleansed. I'm talking about those who are lost and those who have been saved. As they begin to play through softly, let me ask you, which one are you? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Have you called out in sincere faith, asking the Lord to forgive your sin? Have you truly been converted? How many days say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad I'm a born again child of God. I know that I'm a Christian. I'm not hoping. I'm not thinking. I know I am. I know I'm saved. If you can say that with a surety, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Isn't it great to be able to raise your hand to that? Is there somebody here who says, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that, but I sure would like to be able to. I couldn't raise it to that question, but if somebody asked that question again, I sure would like to be able to raise my hand to it. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to be converted. I'd like to know the Lord as my Savior. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I'd like to make sure I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I don't know that, but I'd like to make sure of it. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. If you've been saved, when's the last time that you purposely turned back to fall at His feet and say thank you? You say, I did this morning. Do it again. There's no way that we can thank Him enough. Now I want to invite you, if God is leading you, and only if God is leading, I don't want anybody to come because the preacher is urging you. No, I want God to tell you to do it. If you feel the Holy Spirit of God is burdening you to come to this altar just to say thank you, thank you. And I want to invite you to come. When we stand, let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary, if you'll begin to sing, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Come on.
When I saw the cleansing fountain,
come just to say thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you for giving me something. Thankful for
when He said, "Wilt thou be clean?" I will praise Him.
Way.
Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one. I will praise Him.
This blesses my heart. This blesses my heart. This is Bradley Muncie. Bradley came last week. And last week you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that correct? You got saved here in the service. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. They've already started discipleship. That's great. And what you're saying, Bradley, is that you're meaning business, you're not playing games, that you have trusted Jesus Christ, and if God means what He said, you meant what you said. Is that what you're saying? Amen. Amen. This is Rebecca Galleon. Mom and Daddy, appreciate your faithfulness. Appreciate your prayers. Rebecca is coming today. She knows she's saved. She knows she's born again. She wants to rededicate her life to Jesus Christ. Is that right, Rebecca? We're happy for you. You're among friends. We love you here. We'll help you. We're honored that you're here, both of you. If you're happy for them, say a big amen. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. We're thrilled for you. I want to ask you to stay right there, and I'd like to ask our men and ladies to come by. Hey, these are situations where you need to come by and pat somebody on the back. These are situations where people can come to a church and think to themselves, what are these people thinking about me? Amen? I'll tell you what people whose hearts right's thinking about you, we're thrilled for you. And we're glad you're here, and we love you, and we want you to stay with us. Because I'll tell you something, there are people that are going through the same things that you all have gone through, and they don't know Jesus. God wants to use you to reach them. And we want to train you how to do that. Wouldn't that be great? So if your heart's right with God, and you mean business with this, come talk to him. That doesn't mean if you don't come talk to him, your heart's not right, okay? But if you'd like to come and just offer a word of encouragement, mother-daughter embracing each other, father-daughter embracing each other. Hey, by the way, you might have a son, a wayward son or daughter. Say, what am I supposed to do? Just keep praying. Keep going to the feet of Jesus. Beg God to get a hold of him. He still does, you know. He still does. Amen. Thrilling. We're going to be dismissed in prayer. I want to encourage you to be back in the house of God tonight. Special treat tonight, Brother Roger Cox is going to be preaching. I've asked him to give a report for he and his dear wife, Sandy, who went through, there's a lot of people who went through a lot of cancer things in our church. A lot of people that could speak. He's going to be speaking really on the behalf of the cancer ministry tonight. He's excited about it. I want you to come hear it. I believe it'll be good for us. Ask God to speak to us, okay? Please come up here and shake the hands of these young people. Tell them you're proud of them. Glad they're here. Amen. Good. I'm going to ask Brother Butch Abbott, sir, if you'd lift your voice and pray for us, please.